Well, you and I know that the Upper Hunter's history is etched with coal and coal-fired power generation. At the same time, though, these days, plenty of renewables operations are preparing to call our part of the world home as well. And indeed, with so many of those projects in the offing, it can be, frankly, tricky to keep across them all. One major project in our patch that's got a tick from the State Planning Commission is the Muswellbrook Solar Farm. That's a 270 megawatt project split 50-50 between the solar farm itself and a battery storage system. Steve Simons is the vice president of OX2, the company behind the Muswellbrook Solar Farm. He sat down with Amelia Bernasconi to take a look at where the project is at, and noting the full circle moment regarding energy production given the solar farm's location.
It's on the old the Muswellbrook coal mine, so which is a fantastic example of the repurposing of through the new transition to new clean green energy. So it's a unique, it's the first time it's been done in Australia, so it's exciting from that side of things. And the ability to repurpose, sites that were used for other purposes previously.
Is that a big job, though? Like, how much does the former company do in rehabilitating, you know, and filling the voids, those kind of things? Or do you have to do a lot of the heavy lifting?
It's largely rehabilitated. It's a flat area. I was actually out there yesterday driving through. Yeah, it's got, great access with roads and the like, given the coal work that was previously done. So from that side of things, it's just clearing some of the, the vegetation that's sort of regrown. And we've got obligations to make native vegetation offsets for anything that we do remove. It's a relatively simple build. As people will know, there's a lot of transmission lines that crisscross the area up here. So, we connect in locally in there, so we don't require any further rebuild of transmission, which makes it it's a good spot. It's sort of caught in the wedge there. It's on the side. It's got the bypass that'll go around, which is borders on the other side. So it's stuck in a nice little spot there that'll fit in quite well.
Yeah, the Hunter, I guess, has a lot to offer, like you're saying, as we look to the future of how power is generated. We're still connected, though. It doesn't matter if it's coal-fired power or if it's solar. We've got all of that infrastructure in place.
And that's the beauty of it. From that perspective, it's using the infrastructure that's there historically with all the power stations that have been there. So those transmission assets have a long life. So, they'll still be there well after our project is finished as well. So it's the ability to reuse that infrastructure, which is particularly useful.
You mentioned, Steve, that you've been out to site this week. I know your team spoke at the Muswellbrook Chamber of Commerce and Industry breakfast, committed to that local procurement of businesses and workers where you can. What's happening at the moment and how is that going with, I know you've probably got to bring some specialised workers in, but how many locals are you getting on board at this stage too?
Yeah, we're still in the contracting phase. We're expecting to commence works in the middle of the year, towards the middle of the year. We're finalising contracts with our construction partners. There is an obligation in those contracts to be sourcing locals to be able to work. There's also some opportunities for apprenticeships and traineeships associated with that, as well as local subcontractors. So on our website, muswellbrooksolar.com, under the careers and business opportunities section, there's ability to register for those who are interested. And then from there, we'll continue to look to provide opportunities for locals. Yes, there will be some people who will need to come in just off the basis of some of the technical elements of stuff, but where possible, we are looking to employ local. And we will continue to own this project. So we're here as part of the community for the next 40 years. So we want to make sure we do this right. Our reputation line will be here as part of that with, there'll be probably around four or five permanent jobs on a go-forward basis that will be there for the life of the project. So, from that perspective, we're in it for the long haul.
In terms of the construction, though, that offers so many different areas of expertise. Like you said, whether it's land clearing or native veg management, as well as the physical construction of the solar panels, how many jobs will that need?
Yeah, we'll probably peak out around 200 jobs.
Wow.
As part of that, it's a normal sort of, you'll ramp up and then you'll sort of ramp down. Our construction period is over 2 years. With that, most of the works will be done in the first 12 to 18 months, and then the rest of that period is really just commissioning and making sure we're got everything right to be able to connect properly to the grid and not put any pressure on the grid. So, but yeah, during that period, yeah, there'll be a number of jobs and opportunities around.
You mentioned, of course, that obligation and that hope of getting as many locals on board as you can. But like we said, others will need to come in. And I can hear people saying, oh gosh, the rental market, the housing market at large is already so tight here. How are you looking to approach that? I know there was talk in one of your earlier proposals of bringing in sort of like a workers' camp style accommodation. I think that's been shut down with some council policy changes banning that. What's the next step for you?
Yeah, look, we're very conscious of housing in the area and making our project, and there's a number of other projects coming into the region, the bypass, the new transmission, the Hunter Connection transmission, a lot of projects coming through. I think from our perspective, we think that we'll probably be in and largely done before the peak of those mm-hmm. works come. And we're actively talking to Energy Co and Transport for New South Wales to make sure that we coordinate some of that to an extent possible. We are in discussions with a number of parties at the moment around the ability to be providing temporary accommodation for those that will need it. There will be some people who come into the region who will look to move here permanently, so they will need sort of more than temporary accommodation. So it's something that we're working with. We met the mayor and a couple sort of members, sort of employees from the council yesterday. It's top of mind for them. So we are working continually with that. We'll continue to work with the council on that. But we want to make sure that we don't come in and take every piece of rental accommodation, such that it's we've seen interest rates rise yesterday. Housing affordability and rental affordability and availability is important. So we're working through that. We're conscious of that. It's another good reason to get as many locals in as we can as well. But we will still need that, and we're very conscious of we're working with a few people at the moment on some options.
When you say temporary accommodation, what does that look like? Would that be, I know we've heard from the mayor locally in the past, that he would want some of these big companies that are coming in to potentially, leave that accommodation in the future for, those who struggle to put a roof over their heads, those sorts of things. I mean, what does it look like? And I know you're a business at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, we'll be using stuff that's largely there. There's been some people exit the region at the moment where that's created some opportunities for us. So it'll be sort of not your dongers and that sort of stuff, but sort of, sort of smaller scale elements of things. There's a few of those already around the town and the region as well, but we won't be looking to be sort of creating new temporary, sort of a camp or anything like that from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's a big job building a scale of solar farm as big as yours. What's the timeline here? It sounds like there's lots of different pieces to the puzzle before it's all switched on.
Yeah, look, our biggest one at the moment is just making sure we get an economic business case together, and we're working very hard on that. The next case from there is actually starting to clear the site, so we're hoping that those works will commence sort of April, May, and then the broader civils and pilings for the solar panels will commence sort of more middle of the year on that side of things. So it's getting close. It's getting to the pointy end of the project.
Yeah. Steve, we so appreciate you coming into the studio for an update on one of many huge projects for our region. Is there anything else that you want the community to be aware of or let us know at this stage?
Well, I think the reality is it's an exciting project for us. It's our first in the region. It's something that, as I said before, we're a long-term owner, so we want to make sure we do things well. We value our place in the community. We've done some things previously. We were major sponsor of the Dogmaster last year, and People have still got their photos of photos with Bluey
iconic
floating around the office. So yeah, it's exciting for us, and you know, we're really excited to hopefully be more of the community for the next 30, 40 years.